All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.tracksfm.org.
Hello again, listeners. Welcome to All the Rage. And for the first time in a little while, I've actually got a guest, which is good because it means you don't have to listen to me on my unhinged shit that I've been on for the last few episodes. We are, of course, talking to a great comrade and RMT stalwart, our good friend Carlos. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks. Some introduction there.
It is indeed. RMT, some strike action happening. At the time this show will be broadcasting its first live broadcast, we will be in the midst of a series of strike actions. I want to go through all of the details about why these are happening. I think we should talk about a lot of the kind of anti-union propaganda. But more importantly, I'm really excited to talk about ways in which I don't think it's actually working so much this time. But first things first, the question of the show. The most important thing you need to answer now is on the Tuesday evening, the day after this goes out, how do I get to King's Cross in the evening to go to a gig without getting on a scab train?
If it's Tuesday you're talking about, that's going to be really, really difficult because Unite bus controllers are out as well. So you might be on Shanks's pony.
Just a quick shout out in case he's listening afterwards. Thank you, Dad, for the lift. I appreciate it. I've got a fat white family gig. I don't want to miss it. Okay. No, I would, all jokes aside, I'm very, very pissed off if I ever miss a gig. But in the case of something like this, it's for a good reason. I'm sure I will find a way to get there. Actually, break it down for us then. So you mentioned the Unite bus drivers there. So I suppose we'll start with why is this happening and then kind of tell us who's on strike across the board of the London Transport.
Yeah, I mean, so as much as the media want to tell us that it's a knee-jerk reaction, the transport industry has been in steep decline, both in terms of pay, conditions, and everything else like that, and literally just job posts for a long time now. And it's kind of come to a head. On the underground where I work, we've been in constant battle for the last, well, right away through the pandemic, actually, with them, you know, trying to grab whatever they can under the guise of COVID. It all actually on the underground just stems from Boris Johnson, when he was mayor, removing the subsidy to negotiate with his good mates in government. And we're still reeling from that. We're in a £700 million hole, and the subsidy just happens to have been £700 million when he got shot of it. So it's not really serious maths you have to work out as to why we are where we are. And then on the main line, there are 15 or 16 different companies we're dealing with that are all privatised franchises. And obviously they're only in it for the profit. They're only in it so their shareholders can take nice big chunks of our money out of that system. And obviously the government are very happy for them to do that because half of it gets kicked back to the parties, I would imagine. So it's all come to a head. And it's really interesting from our union perspective that I'm based in London and, you know, we can be seen as being quite London-centric. But when you speak to a National Rail person, the attacks are the same. Job cuts, pay freezes, attacking your pension. It's all the same. It's all the same. And it's frankly, it's being done by the same people. It's being done by the government. It's not being done by these franchisees. These franchisees, they'll be very happy to just keep on going and keep on, siphoning off all the money they need to. In TFL, our company would be happy to just roll on like that. No one bothers them. They all leave. The managers leave with much better pensions than we would ever dream of. Or go off to Dubai or China and do a bit of consultancy, and that's them sorted for life. So, so what happened? We're in the midst on the underground of a dispute. It's we've just reballoted on it, so we're now into a year's worth of dispute, and it happened to tie up with National Rail. And as a trade union, you have to wield your power effectively. And so we took the decision that if we're all in dispute at the same time, why not all come out at the same time? So this is the first National Rail strike since the 80s.
I suppose that is indicative that it's getting more attention. So clearly it's more of a countrywide thing. I mean, basically, you know, let's just cut to the chase here. They're talking about they've got a debt and they want you to pay for it via taking a cut. I mean, is that right?
Yeah, so the way they want us to pay for it is they our pension, and I think I've mentioned it the last time I was speaking to you, our pension is a £180 million in surplus. It is a well, and that's with all the effects of COVID all built in. The company has also just had to lower how much they pay into the pot because they took a payment holiday 10 years ago. So there is no excuse on paper as to why they would look at our pension. But because we have a London mayor and because we have a Conservative government who would rather a Conservative London mayor, they've basically hijacked our funding to put in stuff that they've wanted to put in for donkey's years. This is not new plans. They've just gone to their dusty old shelf of how we can smash the working classes, dusted off that file, and now they're trying to do it. So we're looking down at 600 full-time equivalent jobs. What I mean by full-time equivalent is if they decide that 50% of them are part-timers, then you're talking 900 jobs. Mm-hmm. So that's all on the stations. The pensions is still on the cards, because it is a condition of us getting money from the government to run the tubes. And then the night tube dispute, which you're aware of, you know, that's still rolling on. They're still putting more lines on. The Piccadilly line is going middle of July. The Jubilee line now is already back on it as well. So, and that's just to remind everyone that is us being forced to work more weekends and forced to work more extreme shifts for buttons, frankly. So that's a kind of roundup of where we are as a country. The Underground is going out on Tuesday. The National Rail are going out Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday.
So not far from here, I've got from where I'm talking to you now, there's like stations like Harrow and Wealdstone, Kenton, all that stuff, which takes on the Bakerloo line, but it also has the Overground, whatchamacallit. And there's one in Hatch End too and all that kind of stuff. Are all of them going out too?
So the ones that are unaffected are, and I say unaffected, they may still be affected because of the places where they connect with our areas. So for example, the Elizabeth line, that is not in dispute. But I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that the signals at Paddington are controlled by RMT members. So they won't be able to get in and out. Right. And similar will happen across the network. So it's a really fluid thing. I know the companies are trying their best as they always do. And it's their want to move people around, move their scab army around to deal, you know, do what they got to do to try and offer a service. But from what I'm hearing from my colleagues on the National Rail, there will be very, very little running on them 3 days.
So it might be an idea to book myself a hotel room in King's Cross for the Monday night and stay over. That's what you say.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, that's your options, isn't it? I mean, you've got, I think Uber are going to have a field day. I think their daily rate is going to be through the roof as well because they have that surge fare model. So, you know, they're rubbing their hands, I think.
But I hope those underpaid Uber drivers send you a thank you card when it's... Yeah.
Well, I did hear somewhere they're going on strike soon as well. So, you know, the country is ready. And I think the RMT are in a lucky position where we are showing an element of leadership to the working classes and saying, listen, all you have to do is be more organised than them. This is a Bob Crow quote, by the way. Yeah. Either we're more organised than the bosses or they're more organised than us. It's very simple. And so we're in the RMT. We're showing them right now that their thresholds for this new anti-trade union law, it's not new anymore, 2015, but their thresholds mean nothing to us because we're more organised than that. So we've smashed that threshold the last few times we've put ballots on. It's hard work, but it's doable.
Yeah.
And then we're showing the working class that if you do organise, you can demand more and you can get more. And it's not about, you know, I want to be richer. It's that you're generating that wealth. It just has to be a bit more fair, simple as.
And also, I mean, lest we need to remind people, we're coming out of a period of time where it was even more of a factor of RMT members were keeping London moving and the wider country moving during the worst period of time we've had, you know, the worst pandemic we've had for 100 years, among other key workers. You know, they were the ones who were frontline. And the reward for that, apparently, according to our overlords, is that you should have your pensions dug into, you should have your pay and your jobs threatened, because of a debt that some other wanker ran up that's got nothing to do with you.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is we're, you know, as key workers, we got discounts in Boots and other places like that. And now, as is always the way when we announce strikes, certainly on the underground, is it's greedy train drivers. Well, you know, I'm a train driver, but we don't make up the majority of membership. The majority of membership is station staff, and we have many grades in station staff that aren't paid that well. And you know, and being asked to work far, far more than they ever have before for no real other benefit. So, you know, stick your clapping up your arse, frankly.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that entirely. And also, you know, it's always worth reminding people, I don't really think on this show we have to, but I'll say it anyway. You never know, we might have some new listeners. You really should reject all of this divide and conquer type stuff, because when you look at train drivers, you think, oh, wow, they get paid a lot. You should probably ask them how they managed to get paid more. You know, that would be, and I'm no doubt they'll come back to you and tell you strong union organising and you know, little things like that. You know, rather than being petty and jealous, why don't you actually get your shit together and stand in a similar way? You know what? Us trade unionists, we're happy to give you any advice that we can. There's a lot of younger, hungrier, beautifully populated unions out there, IWGB, United Voices of the World, folks like that. You know, they'll help you probably too. You know, we're all in this together. We are all in this together, Mr. Cameron, not you. And we're going to win. It's weird times, because I saw it this week, the week I'm talking to you, when people power is what stopped the Rwanda deportation flights taking off. And there's a lot of resistance. We're talking about on the show, a lot of resistance to raids and stuff like that, which is really like quick, you know what I mean? Because no one knows when a raid is coming. So this is like community organizing at its absolute best, you know. And then there's this kind of, you know, massive countrywide union organization, which is a beautiful thing to see, I must say. On that quickly, so there's been a couple of occasions when it looks to me a bit like the media position has maybe backfired. Maybe they haven't quite exactly got what they thought they might get. For instance, quite recently, the Navarra media journalist Ash Sarkar and some bloke whose name I can't remember appeared on Good Morning Britain. Not exactly a show you probably associate with being full of rank and file trade unionist, you know, Gramsci reading types like me. You didn't expect them to tend to be in there. However, she absolutely aced it because that's what she does. And they put out a poll, like a Twitter poll for their viewership, and saying, you know, usually like loaded question, should train drivers be allowed to grind the country to a halt by going on strike? This kind of stuff. Or should they have these options, these rights taken away from them? 85% of respondents said no, they shouldn't. So that's quite, I mean, that is very mainstream what I'm talking about here. That's quite something.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And I saw the same thing. This is what I mean about it, that I genuinely believe, and a lot of people in the trade unions believe, including we went to a organising meeting on Monday. So when this goes out, we would have had a mass demo in London on Saturday. London Demands Better.
I will see you there.
Yeah, brilliant. So we went to an organising meeting. There was a load of general secretaries there and a load of other people there. Dave Ward spoke. And
I'm familiar with him. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was talking. So he's the CWU general secretary. He was talking about that there is a groundswell. And he wasn't the only one saying that. But the reason I point him out is because he was saying the groundswell has to be not just with trade unions, but in exactly as you were saying, John, with communities and community groups that are out there doing the good work that we should all be doing. And all we have to do is connect them dots, and all of a sudden we're an unstoppable machine that can really, you know, invoke change in this. It's a rotten country at the moment. You know, we've got rotten leadership. Things are going really wrong here, right? More food banks than McDonald's. We can't, it can't go on anymore. And I think we are really close to, and I genuinely hope we push through that barrier, but I think we're really close to really achieving something for the working classes in Britain.
We are, but we need everyone's, because I've seen these things go wrong before, we need all hands on deck. And yeah, I mean, I'll kind of add to that. Yeah, I mean, what you're seeing is an addiction to a particular kind of capitalist management within the neoliberal scale, which sees an absolutely piss-weak opposition. I mean, it's not going to surprise you, folks. I hate the Tories, But right now, I hate Labour leadership even more because they should fucking know better. I mean, they don't because of who's in power. But you've got these people who are, again, addicted to this terrible drug of nostalgia and want to pretend that it's the late 90s, early 2000s when no one gives a shit about politics. It's all just about managing it a little better. They want nothing to systematically change whatsoever. And they are willing to follow this addiction to the point of creating a failed state, because that is what's happening to Britain right now. Austerity is turning it into a failed state. It's not the only country in the world that this is happening to. I think it's happening to a good degree in France too, and it's certainly happening in America. That is what's on the line here. Like you say, you know, more food banks and McDonald's. It's fucking ludicrous. You know, they're just something. Addiction concerns me. I hate to see people suffering from drug addiction, but wealth addiction is the worst I've ever seen.
Mm.
It really is the worst thing I've ever seen. The greed,
yeah, and they've kept it as a really closed shop. So yeah. You know that wealth club. That's a very exclusive club, and they're getting richer and richer, and we're seeing it all, and we're just swallowing the after effects of them getting richer and richer, and we can't do that. There's an example on the Underground, right? So our official on paper boss is the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, and we've put on strike action, a lot of strike action in the recent months, and we have demanded at every meeting because the management on the Underground are saying, well, listen, you know, if you're asking for more money, or if you're asking us not to make these savings, we don't have the authority to tell you we can do that. So our position is obviously like every other good trade union would say, well, get someone to this meeting who can make that decision, you know.
Yeah.
And that person is Sadiq Khan. And he not only has he avoided the RMT, right, he has also unequivocally lied and said the RMT won't meet me. Well, we've demanded that he meets us. Every single time we've met with senior management, every single time, you know, so this is where we are. They know that Sadiq Khan coming into a meeting with us, they don't have the evidence. They don't have the plan to justify the stuff they're trying to do. And so they just want to bury their heads in the sand and carry on and then hope that when they poke their heads up again, the pesky RMT have gone away. But I'm telling you now, they'll be gone before we are.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I say it's a shame, to be honest. I never had a tremendous amount of faith in him. I don't take kindly to a lot of the anti-Sadiq sentiment because that's just fueled by a bunch of reactionary racists. But nevertheless, that doesn't automatically make you a good leader. To be honest with you, I've got very little interest in kind of mayor positions around the country anyway, because I don't think they have any real power. And the government use that as an excuse to try and, you know, cut their budgets and say, well, you know, they're in charge of their own districts or their own cities. But, you know, whatever, there is that. What would actually get these strikes, I don't want to say called off because I think it's inevitable, but postponed? What do you want right now? I mean, and this, as I say, this will be broadcast in the middle of the dispute, but we're talking just before it, so you can apply this to either one. What would make the RMT go, okay, we're going to pause the strike that day, or we're going to put on a special non-scab train just to get people to the Fat White Family gig Tuesday night and then fuck everything else? Yeah, what would
So I'm going to split it into the two disputes, right? We've got the Underground first. So the Underground, it's very clear that no other metro system in the world runs off fares alone. So our subsidy has to be booked back. It has to be booked back. The Tube is an essential service to all the workers that get out there and keep London moving in general. They're telling us that the Tube being closed on a strike day cost the city 50 million quid, right? Every day we're on strike. Well, why wouldn't you then look for the money to avoid spending 50 million quid?
Exactly.
And you know, and get everyone the services and the system they deserve, right? So that's the Underground. That's very easy. All you do is reinstate that subsidy. They can't say there's not enough money, right? Take a missile off the Trident submarine. That'll pay for it. That's it, done, right? Now, when you come to the National Rail one, it's a similar solution, right? The fly in the ointment is that we're dealing with private companies. So genuinely, I think the only way they're going to get a real result here is if they admit that a lot of these franchises are failing and take it off them. And then fund that as we're asking to be funded on the Underground. And once you fully fund a well-integrated railway service, which, by the way, would go a long way to your carbon neutral footprint in the country, right? It is the greenest form of transport. We have far less diesel trains than we've ever had before. The electric trains now are fantastic, can achieve higher speeds and high efficiency. As a union, we're not opposed to modernity. It's a long way off driverless trains. That's a whole different conversation. But we are, you know, we're very happy to work with this kind of renewable energy and get stuff done like that. So it is really boiled down to one word. It's just throw money at it. It's money.
Yeah, are you happy to throw money at plenty of other things? I mean, the time that we're talking right now, I'm not going to pretend I understand the full economics of all of this, but I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a few that talk about technology and economics. And we're living in a time in which we've just had, Web 3.0, whatever it's called, is starting to fall apart. These companies that had absolutely nothing going for them except a loud mouth have had access to ridiculous amounts of capital, and they're crashing like chronic. You know, cryptocurrencies are turning out to be exactly what they always were, which is you should only really be using them to buy drugs, guns, and kiddie porn, which is what they were invented for. And now trying to turn them into real world currency is tanking. We are at the mercy of psychotic billionaires like the Musks and the Bezoses of the world, who are constantly trying to grind us into dust. And yet, shit tons of money has been thrown at these things to try and bail them out. When it's really, really simple that even someone like me, a postman from the middle of nowhere, can see that this thing isn't going to work, even if I can't put my finger on it. And you've got that on one side. You've got, as you said, the kind of admission, I mean, I've got to come back on this. You know, the kind of admission that this is going to cost 50 million or whatever if this thing goes ahead. Well, then you've got the biggest national strike action of transport workers in this country, as you said a little while ago, that we've seen for decades. Does that not tell you something, you dumb fuck? You've lost this argument. You know, do you know what I mean? Literally, what are you holding out for? Except anything other than just egotistical belligerence because you don't want to give in to the unions. You've already lost. What are you going to cost this country because you refuse to back down? You know, all this stuff. Don't blame the unions. I blame you. You know, you folks come and tell us there's no way we can change this system, even when it's making us literally poorer, more insecure, more mentally ill, more physically unwell. You know, we can't possibly change the system. We just have to live with it. Well, the union's strong. They're well organized, and they've out organized you. Live with it, bitch. What are you going to do?
Do you know what? I'll tell you what they're going to do, right? Grant Shapps, over the last 2 weeks, has made the most outstanding, attempts at trying to smash our strike, right? The first thing he did was say, all right then, so if RMT members on a national rail are striking, they shouldn't be offered overtime for the rest of that week, right? And milking the system is what he called it, right? Now, I don't think he understood the irony in it from an RMT member's perspective, because on the underground, we've got an overtime banning because we know it works because they're so underfunded and understaffed, right? So there is an element. I mean, I would love to see if he gets that in, right, and he gets the franchisees to agree to not give overtime for the days either side of next week's strikes or this week's strikes as we're speaking here, I would love the RMT to put on further action and it be an overtime ban and see how you get on then. Because our job has been so weakened and posts have been lost because overtime beefs it up a little bit. So on paper, we're really understaffed already and they're talking about more cuts. But what they're doing is they paper over in that with overtime. So that's the overtime bit. Then the other irony he did in the same fucking week, right, was say, we're going to get agency staff in to break their strike. That was the same man who spoke to the P&O leader when they did what they did to our members on them ships and said, we cannot have agency staff working for these good workers because it's unsafe. He said it about P&O. Why would it be any different on a railway? I can assure you it's just as dangerous on a train than it is on a boat. And he's contradicting himself over and over again. And you touched on it. They are trying to go to war with the RMT. This government see us as their miners. They see us as being the ones that will put them in Tory history as amazing leaders like Thatcher. Well, I'll tell you what, they got a fucking big shot coming because they ain't going to end up like Thatcher. They're going to be forgotten. The only thing that'll be remembered is working class people standing up for themselves against a government, not a company, against a government and having it.
Absolutely. This is a new era we're going into now. You know, if I want to get ultra personal about it, Corbynism didn't fail. Okay. You might have said it did because the seeds it planted are what we're living now. And what you've actually done is expand the working class. You know, Thatcher tried to expand the middle class and Blair followed her along. And what you've done is actually expand the working class, which theoretically is something I love, you know, more company. But at the same time, you've done it in the worst possible ways because you've increased the suffering of those at the most vulnerable and bottom end of it. And for the rest of us who are willing to stand up, not only for ourselves, but to stand up for our comrades and for our friends and for even complete strangers, we are willing to take this as far as it can possibly go. So you've really done fucked up, son. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
There is no other way of looking at it. They've picked the wrong fight.
Absolutely, they have. Well, you mentioned P&O, but I was going to ask you about that. So what's the update with that? What's happening there?
So I don't know whether your listeners would be aware that when they got sacked to the 800 seafarers, right, they brought in cheap labour from places like Honduras and Eastern Europe and all that. That's no problem, right? All we wanted is our members reinstated. What the company did and what they knew was illegal when they did it was that they offered severance to all of them, redundancy, even though their posts weren't made redundant. Other people took them over, so it's not really redundancy. But what they did then is they offered them an enhancement for a non-disclosure. Now, that enhancement was three times what the redundancy money was. So out of the 800, 799 took it because they live in port cities around Britain where there isn't much work. And so to get 3, possibly 4 years worth of wages in one go can set you up for what you need to do. And actually, I think 90-odd percent of them found seafaring work elsewhere because they were highly skilled workers. You don't find someone who knows how to deal with a ferry engine very easily. You don't find them. And so they've been picked up. So, you know, they're fairly happy. And, you know, it's not a great outcome for a trade union. It really isn't because they've been paid off and you know, it's worked out. I'm glad it's worked out for them on a personal level. But as far as a union goes, that is, you know, I wouldn't call it a failure, but it certainly didn't go the way we wanted it to go. We, you know, the government seemed to be incapable of dealing with this person who told him in a select committee that he knew that he was breaking the law and did it anyway. Nothing has happened to that bloke. Nothing. I don't know what else can we do. I'm lost for words.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. The kind of overtness of that. I mean, when I hear myself say stuff on this show sometimes, you know, you kind of think, I often think, do I really have to say this out loud? I mean, it's so blatantly bloody obvious. And when it comes to stuff like that, I mean, yeah, what do you say? What do you say? That's it. I'll leave that one hanging there. So, I'm shocked, appalled and disgusted for whatever that's worth, if anyone cares. I don't think they do. Don't get on a P&O ferry, folks, because for one thing, it ain't going to be safe.
Well, this is it. And we've seen that. They had to, and they don't take this lightly either. And they knew when they did it, this is the Ports Authority, when they stopped that ship in Lahn, when they stopped that ship for safety issues, right, they knew that that's playing into the RMT's hands, right? Now, that Port Authority is a governmental department. And as we were speaking earlier, the government do not want to give the RMT fuel. They don't want to give us fuel, but they can't help it because they have so mismanaged all of it that eventually it'll happen. The next thing that is a potential that could happen, and we are really, really concerned in the RMT, right, is that if they manage to get through these swathing cuts that they're trying to get through, the one that's on the table now for National Rail is 2,500 maintenance workers posts are going if they get their way. That is a lot of people maintaining the rails that these heavy trains run on. And that is a real fear for us because it won't only be passengers, it would be our members and our members' families and working class people that are going to die.
Yeah.
All because they want to save a couple of quid for a franchisee who's probably a billionaire already.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And the billionaire won't care.
They never do.
They never do. It pay out. He's probably got insurance on that. The insurance will pay out, and he'll still take his dividend at the end of the year.
I mean, look, if you want to talk about the real scalpers in our society, you've got to talk to shareholders. Simple as that.
Yeah, 100%.
Same thing. I say to shareholders, same thing I can say to landlords when they start fretting about their jobs. Get a real job.
Yeah.
So you're always telling the likes of us, get a real job. You know, we're recruiting at Royal Mail at the moment. Put your hat in. Yeah.
There you go.
So you see, yeah. See you on the front line. You know, that would be great.
John Bouts. All the rage. All the rage. On Trax FM. Trax FM. Trax FM.
We talked about the strike action. We've talked about what could actually, you know, prevent it from happening in a good way, which means London Transport back down, and it means that they come back to the table, and it means that you get the funding that this company needs, so it doesn't collapse. I mean, do you think? I imagine what they're saying here is they're trying to get this to go into a position where they privatise the whole thing. Is that, do you think that's what they're doing? I mean, privatise is not the right word, because I know half of it is private company anyway, but you know what I mean.
As far as the underground is, it's not private at all. That private-public partnership they did a few years back with just the maintenance, with when Metronet and Tube Lines appeared, that experiment only lasted 3 years and collapsed in the most spectacular way. So,
of course.
yeah. So there's that. What I would say is, you know, the mayor is talking about managed decline, and I think he's using that as a lever to get the funding he needs. I don't think really that Londoners would accept from a mayor, because remember, they're all voters. And if he resides over managed decline of the tube network and the buses. Because this is not, at the moment we're focusing on the tube, but there's been some quite big bus routes being just taken off the timetables in London. And so Londoners are suffering. There was one particular one, I think it's the 12, that means because of the nature of the route, you are putting people on at least three buses to get to where they need to be. And it's just not right. It's just not right. So that's kind of what's happening with them. The tube and bus system can't collapse in London because, like I say, it generates too much money for them to stop it. If the tube, for example, said, you know, we can't run services on a Tuesday, Wednesday and a Thursday, the capital would just grind to a halt. It would grind to a halt. How else are you going to get from Cockfosters to at Hammersmith, for example, or from Golders Green to King's Cross? You know, it's just madness. The other thing with the 50 million is, if you divide that 50 million by the amount of workers we've got on the tube, the average we're earning for the company is 17 grand a day each. Mm. So, you know, all of a sudden, that money that they're paying us on a daily to give us a what everyone thinks is an extortionate wage, which I can tell you I live on it. It's not extortionate in any way. Right. You know, it pales into insignificance. You know what I mean? The people are making money off our backs. They just need to, you know, they need to chip in.
Absolutely. I mean, this again, a plus side of this is it really is exposing, as we were talking about a minute ago, the system here. You know, we're having it in Royal Mail too. I was screaming rail to people about, we had to give X amount of money to shareholders. That was your choice, man.
Yeah.
You decided to privatise the company. Me and my members aren't paying for that. The fuck out of here.
So just on privatisation then, we've got, I think it's 11 lines or something like that. When the private-public partnership came along, they divided them lines into nice little groups. So you've got the Jubilee, Northern and Piccadilly line. They're one group, and you'd call them the deep level tubes. You've got the Metropolitan line, District line, Hammersmith City line. They call them subsurface. You've got the Bakerloo Central and Victoria, right? Now, we know that they did that only so that they could sell them off in small chunks because there is no company, there's no franchise out there. First Great Western, Abellio, none of them would touch the underground as a whole with the R&T involved there, right? There are other unions on the underground. Most of them ain't worth what their membership's worth, unfortunately.
I was going to say, are there?
Yeah, I'd love to be able to say they're fantastic and we work together so brilliantly. On a local level, we do. You know, my local rep that I work with, he's great, no problem. You know what I mean? But as a union, we've found that we're having to fight against another union and the company, and that should never be the way. So I think genuinely, the reason all the structure is there to privatise the tube. It's all there. It's just, who's going to take it on?
Yeah.
Because they'd be taking us on.
Yeah, rightly so. And actually, from CW perspective, we're pretty similar there too. We've got a very good reputation, I'm very glad to say.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, those line divisions are interesting. It's funny you said about the deep underground one. I was thinking that's what explains why it's so bloody hot on there.
yeah. There's no trains coming on a Piccadilly line and they're all air conditioned. You just have to wait a couple of years if the money don't run dry by then.
It doesn't matter. Piccadilly line takes bloody ages to get everywhere. I told you I don't like going on that line. It takes forever. It's a very good line. It covers a lot of ground and that's very helpful, obviously. It's just on a personal note, it's like, you know.
I think what you're seeing is so like for the trains that humans have to physically drive, not the automatic trains, right?
Yeah.
The Piccadilly line, it genuinely, and this might shock you, is known as the racetrack. Because we drive like lunatics, right? Because you have to get people out there. You have to get people into town. You have to get people to Heathrow. You have to get people elsewhere, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's happening is that obviously automatic trains have no fear. You know, they drive at 100% and then they'll brake at 100%. Humans can't do that. And of all the lines, the Piccadilly line is the one that gets closest to that. Mm-hmm. But it's still a good way away. So that's probably why it feels like it's a slow train, because if you're getting on the Central Line, the Jubilee, the Northern,
yeah,
Victoria, that's a computer running that, and computers have no fear.
No, I always thought, I mean, as I say, there's no reason why you shouldn't have a lot of stops online. I always just thought there was more stops on it. You know, it was the central would get me to like Shepherd's Bush in 20 minutes or whatever, but that's so the Elizabeth line, the brand new line, I've not been on it yet. I might actually boycott it because if I remember rightly, that's the line that knocked down the Astoria in Charing Cross Road, which I will never forgive those people for ever. I will go to my grave with a photograph of me standing outside of the Astoria in my coffin. Okay. I'm so fucking angry with you people. Anyway, sorry. What's the union's take on that? Because, it didn't get a lot of good press because it came in vastly over budget and vastly over time. What's it like? And you mentioned earlier that they're running on the day. So what's the deal there?
So they're running because a lot of the attacks and the other bits and pieces, they're kind of like, they're ring fenced around these lines. So they're not really in the battle. It's not to say they won't be in the future, because obviously these people can't help themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they can't help themselves. They see an opportunity to shave off a couple of million pounds, they'll do it. So the new bit, the bit that you're talking about, has taken away swathes of central London. You know, that's, it's fine. I mean, it does make a difference to people going from the west of London to the east of London once it's connected. At the moment, you have to get off at Paddington anyway, cross a concourse that you have to go past the District line, the Hammersmith City line, and the Bakerloo line at Paddington. You have to cross all them to get onto this new bit to get you to London. So it's not really as it was designed. But once they hook that up together, it will mean that you can go from I live near Heathrow, right? West Drayton. It's on the old bit, the original bit, which just runs on existing lines that First Great Western used to run on from Reading. So I can get from here to Tottenham Court Road in what normally would take an hour. Once that's connected, it'll take me 20 minutes. So right. it will save people. It will save Londoners time. They're brand new trains. They all look very flash. All the stations are all brand new, purpose built, and all the rest of it. It's a good thing. As far as organisation, we are organising there. Most of the station staff are RMT. I'm not so sure about the drivers. I'm not 100% sure on them. I do recall that the TSSA, before it went live, offered a no strike clause for all of their members before it started. And at the time, they didn't have one single member on there. So they've signed a no strike clause for zero members on a new contract. And I find that bizarre as a trade unionist. I find that absolutely bizarre. You're pulling the teeth off a lion and then, you know what I mean, and expecting it to be able to do what it needs to do. Nonsense.
Yeah. I think we've given our opinions in private about that particular union, have we not, on occasion?
I think I've just done it in public. Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Could be troubling. What can I say? TSSA, WTF. Anyway, we won't do that on the... We won't dwell on that one for too long. It just gives me more shit to edit out. Okay, I mean, I think that's, to be honest, that's the main body. We got a little bit of time left if you want to chat about anything else. I mean, as I say, I'm sort of, I'm keen on, kind of seeing where we can go with this in wider society. Because, as I say, I very, very strongly feel this need to kind of take this kind of militancy out to the rest of the world, to take it out to the wider working class, because it's absolutely what we need. And if we can do that in some way, that would be amazing. But, and again, you know, if you're listening to this, folks, you don't necessarily have to be in a trade union. You can even not be in work in order to organise. You know, this is the important thing. You can organise the local community groups. You can organise your local people at your local food bank. You know, if they're interested, if you get the best kind of, I mean, I've done a bit of food based charity work over the years. I'd much rather do solidarity work. Especially relating to that. And that's actually a red line for me. You know, I draw that if you're kind of hanging around with folks who are perhaps, you know, if I'm being a little bit less than kind, are really just trying to make themselves feel better and feel like you can't criticize them because they're handing out free food or whatever. Well, actually, I can criticize you, because if you're not into this to overthrow this sick system so people don't actually need this service in the first place, then you're not here for the right reasons. I feel very strong. I understand people might come back that. Please, you know, give us your opinion. I'm happy to hear it, but I am very militant on that particular issue. We have to be here.
So on that, and I said this the last time we spoke, right? What you're doing here with this show, right, is getting that message out there. And I would urge people to listen to what John just said and take that on board. I think if you're in the UK and you're near any kind of conurbation, you won't have to organise things. There are community organisations out there already struggling and already fighting the good fight. Just get involved and put your shoulder to the wheel. You know, that's what we need. We need energised working class people getting involved together, because I can assure you, with the attacks that are going on in the NHS, with the attacks that are going on in teaching, with the attacks that are going on in the railways and all the transport sectors, you will not have to look too far for a cause that you can really get involved in and make that difference and push it into your workplace and get them where they need to be and make them connections with trade unions and trade union councils. This is what we've got to do. So listen to John. That's what I'm saying.
I think I'm going to clip that and make it my tag. I'm going to make it my ringtone. Listen to me, you fuckers. What else to do? I was going to play out maybe with another Catalan band, maybe. I think I should probably play out with the Fat White Family song I've gone on about enough.
yeah, that'd be good.
So yeah, I'll see if there are. I'm interested to see, actually, so I don't need to creep this in, but just a side issue, I'd be interested to see, because they're very strong on working class issues and trade unions and stuff. So that'll be, yeah, maybe they'll cancel it again. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Mm, mm. It'd be good if they did.
Yeah. Well, we've got a few events happening next week that we've had to kind of push, because people, even in the in-between days, people won't be able to get to where they need to be. They're going to start ramping down services on Monday night across the country. They won't be able to get them up and running again on Wednesday morning too easily either. And then again, they're going to have to ramp them down on Wednesday night for Thursday. So, you know, tough shit, isn't it? What can you do? Yeah.
Well, you know, you management got us in this position in the first place.
Yeah. And again, that whole rhetoric that it's a knee-jerk reaction, they've got their heads up their arses. We've been in this battle for years. It's just come to a head together, which is good for us, you know?
For sure. Are there any songs you want us to play out with? Because I think we've got a little bit of space this week. I'll obviously cut this out if it turns out we haven't got the space. So I'll just put the interview in. But if there's anyone you want us to play?
Well, listen, because we're at this stage, and you've thrown this on me, but because we're at this stage and we're talking about, you know, all these horrible dark forces against us and all the rest of it, and me being quite a mad heavy metal fan, I think War Pigs would sit quite nicely.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Good Brummy working class people giving it back to the man in the media of rock. I mean, come on.
Right. I'm gonna copy my CD copy of that onto here, so you get a nice sweet sounding MP3, or as good as it can sound, as good as MP3s can sound.
Marvelous.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Yeah, nothing like a bit of Sabbath. All right. Well, the official close off then. Carlos Baus, solidarity. Gracias as ever for being on the show. I often say to people, I'll see you on a picket line, but in your case, it's quite genuine. I'll probably see you this Friday, if not at the TUC demo, which will be in the past when this goes out. But it was great. Believe me, folks, it was great.
Absolutely. Thanks very much again, mate.
As ever, mate. Cheers. Thank you.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Trax FM. Trax FM.
Masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. in the fields of bodies burning. As the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. Darkness world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh Lord, yeah.
Rage with John Bowd. On www.traxfm.org.